Church, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for being here today. I've been really blessed, I know myself, by being here, certainly in Bible class. I know I say it all the time. Bible class was great. You guys are attending. I appreciate it. Our song service, Jason's done such an excellent job. The words that have been said by Virgil, been prayed by Grady, and been read to us from Dawson and Travis. Just what an uplifting time as we uplift our worship to our Heavenly Father. You know, I usually have planned out certain things in my lesson and go by script, if you will. But as Travis was reading Psalm 46, I gave the scripture as part of the lesson to be read today, but that scripture just hit me all of a sudden again, and let's look at it. This is going to set the tone for where we are in our lesson today. Please don't miss these words. God is our refuge. You know what that means? You know what a refuge city was, right? They built refuge cities where if you accidentally did something, you could flee to these cities and you would not be harmed. Because there were people that would try to do an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and all those things, right? And so if you accidentally did something, you could be okay. Well, here is God as our escape. You know what this is right now? It's our worship to God, but it's our escape from the world. We're devoting ourselves to Him. We're laying it before You. We just want to live for the day we hear, well done. God is our refuge. But that's not all. And strength. A very present help in trouble. That's not, we hope He's there. He is there. Therefore, because He is our refuge and He is our strength, because He's a very present help in the trouble that we face, therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God's in the middle of her. If He's in the middle of the tabernacle, He's in the middle of our worship. And she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord, that's Yahweh, of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. That's what's against us. And cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot, our enemies, in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Weight class, He is considered one of the greatest lifters of all time. In His prime, He could lift, especially for His weight class, staggering amounts of weight with ease. Olympic lifts where it's clean jerk over the head. But there come a time in His career where He couldn't lift those weights anymore. And He said something that I thought was very fitting to our study today. He said, "It wasn't the weight that defeated me. It was the weariness. My strength ran out." Physically, we've been there, right? Maybe not as world-class weightlifters. But we've been there when we've been so weary that our strength just ran out. What about spiritually? Spiritually, have we been there? Spiritually, are we there? You see, it's not the weight of the world itself that is going to defeat me. It's not the weight of the burden I carry that defeats me. It's not the sin that all those things in general, none of them made me do it. It's my choice that I give into the temptation, and because Satan has worn me down, my strength has run out. Sometimes maybe we ask the question, yes, physically, but certainly spiritually, as we're all concerned about our walk with God, as we all strive to hear those words, well done. Maybe we ask sometimes, can I really keep going? Is it really worth it? You know, and I see this oftentimes, when people we love pass away. In fact, if you were to talk to and survey most atheists or agnostics, at times they were believers. A lot of them have been believers. In fact, at one time the leader of religion at Duke University, think about this now, the leader of religion at Duke University, who knew the Scriptures, who knew what it said, is a devout atheist. And the reason he is because he couldn't get past pain and suffering. If there is such a good God, why does He let others go through pain and suffer? I'm here to remind you, oftentimes, in those moments when it feels like the weight has borne down on us, oftentimes people say, spiritually, God, why are You doing this to me? But I need us all to remember this. Is God in control? Absolutely He's in control. Absolutely. He is in control of it all. He's the Creator of it all, and He can end it all. But I need you to hear this. After everything was created by God, it was good. It's when Eve took and ate of that fruit. It's when Adam took and ate of that fruit that sin entered the world, that bad entered the world, that sickness entered the world, that death entered the world, that cancer entered the world. God doesn't bring forth pain and suffering on us. Sometimes our own choices do it. Sometimes, because of the evil of this world, it happens. I've heard it said before, well, couldn't God stop it? Again, God can do whatever He wants. He's Yahweh. But suppose I climbed up to the top of this building and jumped off of it. Could God stop me from doing that in midair and save me? Sure He could. But what happens when that moment stops? What happens to the rest of the world? What happens to gravity? What happens to nature? What happens to all the things that are working together to be good for us? You see, it's not God who made me jump off that building. It's not God who caused cancer. It's not God who caused death. Let's put blame where blame deserves. It's Satan. But even still, because there is struggle, God is still there during the struggle to give us strength. That's where Isaiah 40 meets us. When our strength runs out, God's strength begins. Isaiah was speaking to a people who were very tired. He was speaking to a people that were very discouraged. And they were struggling under the weight of life. But in Isaiah 40, in their weariness, came this promise, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It was true to God's people in Isaiah 40, and it's true to God's people on this last day of August 2025. When we are drained, when we are weary, God is there to give us strength for the struggle. So what we're going to do today is we're going to open our Bibles to Isaiah 40. We're going to look at this great chapter, at least a portion of it together. And we're going to draw out of there some points. These points to help us in the time of our struggle, in the time that we question, can I go on anymore? Is it worth going on anymore? Where are you, God? In all those questions, I want us to remember exactly where He is. And I want us to remember, based on the lesson I'm going to give you today, here's number one. First thing we got to understand is there is a reality of weariness. Look at Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 30. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted." Isaiah said it right there, right? At the end of what we just read, he said in verse 30 that even youths, those that we think have so much vigor, so has so much energy, so much everything going for them, even youths, all of us, if youths are going to do it, we're going to do it as adults. We're going to fall and grow weary. No matter how strong we are, no matter how successful we are, no matter how self-motivated we are, there are going to be times that Satan is going to weigh down on us the world. As long as we have our strength, just like Demas, right? We're able to lift that weight. But when we fail is when our strength runs out. So the question has to be today, have I come to the realization that because I live in an imperfect world, because I live in a cursed world, that there are going to be moments, there are going to be times when Satan is going to pile on me? See, physically you can exercise, you can eat well, you can plan carefully, but still things will give out. The body will wear out. In fact, there's a story that I want to share with you. In the 2007 Super Bowl, the Chicago Bears lost to the Indianapolis Colts. Peyton Manning was the most valuable player of that Super Bowl. The Colts beat them 29-17. Well, there was a defensive end at the time who has a hard name, so I'm going to go with it. Adewale Ogunyele. Some of y'all will remember him. Don't ask me to say that again. This defensive end who was on the losing team, he was on the Chicago Bears. They interviewed him, and of course, you know, if you're just lost. Why do you really want to talk, right? But he said it wasn't the big plays that wore us down. It was the constant grind of four quarters. By the end, we were exhausted. In 2023, our team at Mobile Christian went 15-0 and won the state championship. Did we have some great athletes on that team? Certainly we did. In fact, our quarterback was the MVP of the championship game. He threw 5 touchdowns. But I'm going to tell you, the strength of that team was our offensive and defensive lines. The offensive line that we had, every one of them have gone on to play college football. And there were times we jumped on teams early, but then there were times we had to grind it out. By the end of the game, because our lines were so good, we absolutely wore teams down. That's football. But it also relates to life. Satan has got a force against us that is grinding at us day in and day out. It's not the big thing that's going to get you. When your faith is strong, it's not the big play. It's the constant grind. He's grinding and grinding and grinding, and it's a daily grind. And we need to admit that. We need to admit that every day. I wish I could tell you, if you walked this aisle today and you gave your life to Jesus Christ through baptism, that when you came up out of that water, you would never face trouble again. But I can't make you that promise. Now, I can promise you this. You will have the one who will be there during the struggle. But Jesus Christ Himself told us that we were going to have struggles and troubles in this world. But we can rejoice because He's overcome it all. There's a grind that's going on. The struggle is real. Acknowledging that there is weariness doesn't admit weakness. It just shows honesty. That's why today it's so important to be honest with yourself. Are you struggling spiritually? Admit it. Admit today. Don't fake it. Don't try to fake your life through it. Just come out and admit it. Yes, I'm weary and I need strength. See, you don't have to pretend you're fine when you're not. God's people are allowed to admit, Lord, I am tired. But it leads me to number 2, the source of our strength. Look back at 28 and 29. There we go. 28 and 29. Isaiah 40 again. Have you not known? Do not miss this. Have you not heard? In fact, it's bold and underlined, right? The Lord, Yahweh, is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. You know what strength is? Admitting today that I can't do this on my own. That is strength. Because in that, what we call weakness, or the world will call weakness, which is really not weakness, we are saying, God, I need You. Because in my humanness, in my failings, in my life, in my incompleteness, I'm going to bring things on in my life through sin and other things that are going to make me weak. And so today when I admit I need help, then I am admitting to the One who says, I'll never grow tired. I'll never grow weary. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. We're all pretty familiar with phone batteries these days, right? You know, that's one thing you'll hear when there's a new, they're trying to get you to buy the newest and the greatest, and every time there are two things they'll talk about. They'll talk about the camera. I remember the first time I got a phone that had a camera. I'm like, why do I need that? boy, it's crazy, right? We take pictures all the time now. But they'll talk about the camera and how great of pictures it produces, and they'll talk about battery life. Those are the two things you'll hear most of the time, that it's got this and it's got that, and so you got to go buy it, right? Because now your battery doesn't last. And I still believe my theory is they're wearing those batteries down somehow purposely, so you will buy another one. But all that to say, no matter what phone you have, the greatest, the latest, no matter what attachment you have that can go on it to give it more juice and all this, ultimately you have to plug it into a charger. Because if not, it dies. So many times we try to live life unplugged from God. Maybe we try to take it on ourselves. Maybe it's too much pride. Whatever it is, we don't admit I need help. And we don't plug into God. In Romans 1:16, I love that verse the Apostle Paul wrote there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Listen to it again. Paul, a man who spent time in prison, who was pointed out this morning in our Bible class that he was a prisoner of God, and he knew what all he was going to have to face. He was going to have to go through this and this and this and this. Jesus showed it to him before he signed up, and he still did it. This man, through the Holy Spirit, he writes, and he wore the scars on his body, right, from all the things that he'd been through. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. What do you do with power? You plug into it. You know, again, I told you this before. When I was a kid, all the things that I loved as a kid comes back. And so I guess, you know, I just never grow up. But all that to say, I loved He-Man. I grew up in a time when, and you know, I didn't know what steroids were. We just thought these guys were absolutely huge, you know. When there were the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallones, the Hulk Hogan's, all these guys in the world that were big and they were massive and they were strong and bodybuilding, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And there was this cartoon called He-Man. And He-Man is a man by the name of Prince Adam. Okay? He's a guy, a father for a king. But he has this sword. And so when he pulls this sword out, things get tough, he always says, by the power of Grayskull, which was what they were fighting over. And he would get this strength and he would transform from this common man to this superhero. I can't promise you any of that. But I can promise you today, by the power of God, He will transform you and give you strength. So it leads to number three. The secret to our renewal. Isaiah 40:31, we've already read it. It was read to us earlier by Dawson. Great job, buddy. But they, I mean, what a verse, right? But they that wait for the Lord, Yahweh again, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To wait on the Lord is not to wait idly by. You know, I've heard, well, I'm just waiting on God. I mean, that doesn't mean that you just sit there. Yes, God is directing it, and sometimes we do things and we mess it up because we didn't fully trust God and all that. But He's not saying just sit by and wait. That's not what it says when it says wait on the Lord. Renewal comes not from rushing ahead or giving up, but learning to rest in God's timing and His provision. It's Psalm 46:10. We know Psalm 46:10. We sing about it. We sing a song. Be still and know that I am God. But did you hear the context we read it in? The context is, He's our very present help in the times of struggle. He is our strength. He is our refuge. Even though the storms are going to come, even though the kingdoms are going to come, even though the enemies are going to come, He's going to break their spears. He's going to tear up their chariots. And as long as we will be still and know that He is God. An eagle, which He refers to here, a magnificent bird. Magnificent bird. When storms come, a lot of times they will not fight against the wind. They'll use the wind. Again, they have a big wingspan, so they flap a couple times, and they will allow their wings to spread so that the wind will carry it higher above the storm. Think about that. The very storm that threatens other birds becomes the source and the strength of that eagle being able to soar. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. We don't do it by flapping our own wings. We do it by soaring on His. Storms are coming. Some of you right now are living in the worst storm possible. At least by statistics. How do you get through it? You allow God the strength to raise you above it all. So what's the result, finally, of God's strength? It's right here. We see it, right? And here's the beautiful thing about it. His renewal is not temporary. It's transformational. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. The progression is a little bit unique, but I think I get it. You know, flying, then there's running, but all in all, it's a walk, right? Every single day, it's not flying and getting there quicker than I think. It's not running and getting there quick. It's an endurance. It takes endurance. I'm every single day going to get up and walk with God. That's most of life, walking step by step, day by day. He's giving us the endurance, not just for those mountaintop moments. Yes, if we all could fly, we would get there and it would be really cool, but eventually, we're going to want to be on the ground. Yes, we could run, but eventually our air is going to give out. We need the endurance to walk and not faint, not give out. See, there may be times we can't feel like we can't make it through the season we're going through. But God promises us we can. But not because of our strength, because of His. I don't know about battery cars like Teslas and things like that. I think they're pretty neat looking. But I do know that you can only go so far. And then it's not going to go anymore because it needs to be recharged. You could say the same thing about gasoline, but there's a lot more gasoline places to stop, I would imagine, and fuel up. See, we may come out, I mean, listen, the Tesla vehicles look amazing. I mean, they're pretty cool looking to me. And they've got all this on it. And so we may come out and we may look great, but eventually, if we don't stop, and we could say it about gasoline or whatever, and put gas or plug in or whatever it may be, eventually it will stop, no matter how good. And then it'll just be something broken down on the side of the road that looks good. Spiritually, the application is the same. You might have come in here today, and at one time you looked like the ideal Christian. You came up out of the water and you had a glow about you and a fire in you and everything was great. But then came the strength. Then came the weight, I should say. And for a while you were able to hold it up. But after a while, the weariness has set in. Today, let's don't be broken down Christians. Out of gas, out of battery, out of juice Christians. Let's be soaring Christians. So we have to ask ourselves as we close, are we weary? Are we tired? Are we too burdened? Have we been trying to fight these battles with our own strength? You know what God is doing today? He's calling us to wait on Him, to trust Him, and to let Him renew us. If you're not a Christian today, today's the day. Today needs to be the day that you walk this aisle. Confess His name. Be immersed in water. Plug into the source. And walk in newness of life. But if you are that Christian who's been running on empty, or you just got a little bit left, you don't know if you can make it much further, maybe today stop flapping your own wings. Allow God's wings to carry you higher. The invitation is open. If you have a need, won't you come right now? It's together. We stand and sing.